This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pod save the king!
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. I'm your host, Anne Gripper, and I'm feeling festive. It's our final episode before Christmas. I'm wearing my Christmas jumper, my Christmas earrings, my sparkly headband, hatband situation. And rather than Christmas Grinch Russell Myers, I am joined by lovely, sparkly Jennifer Newton, Royal Features writer on the Mirror website. So Jen, lovely to have you with us today. Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Are you feeling Christmassy and sparkly?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I don't quite have the Christmas jumper and the headband like yourself, but I'd say the colour is a bit festive. Is that mine?
No? Yeah.
Very festive.
We're recording this on Thursday before Christmas, and I guess the royals must be feeling quite festive now as well, because they had their festive lunch yesterday.
Yeah, so the festive lunch was yesterday at Windsor Castle. So this is the big kind of bash that they have each year, where it's the extended family. So those that aren't fortunate to get the invite to Sandringham can all come together, and they all have a nice festive lunch at Windsor Castle. So yeah, I'm sure they all had a really nice time. I'm sure there was lots of turkey, wine and that sort of thing. So yeah, really nice.
We're obviously used to seeing them all arrive through the gates at Buckingham Palace and driving in the cars and spotting who's who and whatnot. And, you know, it felt, I don't know, we didn't get to see quite as much yesterday because they were having it at Windsor.
Yeah, I think that was the main reason why, you know, you might think, oh, well, maybe it wasn't as big. I don't think it was the fact that it wasn't as big, but it was at Windsor. And I don't think the opportunities to get for the photographers to get the pictures are as maybe good at Windsor as they would be at Buckingham Palace. Obviously, we didn't get a picture of William and Kate arriving with the kids. I would have guessed they would have been there, but because they already live at Windsor, that's why we probably didn't get a picture of them arriving, because they would use a, I don't know the geography of Windsor, but I'm guessing a private road rather than on the public road. So yeah.
A few more people already on site. I mean, in some ways it makes more sense to do it out of town, easier for the people who are travelling from, you know, I mean, Edward and Sophie don't live far away from there. Very easy for them to get to.
And London's quite busy this time of year, isn't it? So yeah, maybe the traffic wasn't great.
It was just a little bit disappointing, maybe.
Yeah. From a Royal Watcher perspective, I suppose it was, because we didn't see them and, you know, get to see what outfits they were wearing and that sort of thing. But I'm sure they all had a lovely time regardless.
I hope so. Some silly games. And, you know, I guess it's that thing of, you know, last year, probably the traditions carried on a bit more normal, and it felt important to do the thing that was the same, because there'd been so much other change maybe. And then this year maybe people feel more able to start changing things. It'd be interesting to see who is at Sandringham. Does everybody go there, or do they feel the liberty to go, you know, go spend it with the in-laws this year instead of with that family? So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see exactly who is there at Sandringham, because, you know, we forget that they all have other families that aren't royal and who I'm sure want to spend Christmas with them as well. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see who's there and who was there last year, maybe not there this year. But yeah, I'm sure we'll find out soon enough on Christmas Day.
And the Christmas lunch, I mean, traditionally at Buckingham Palace is quite a big deal. I was reading back on some of the things that Mike Tyndall has said about it previously, about, you know, there being sort of seven big tables, about 70 people, separate lunch for the kids so that, the you know, they can have fun and mayhem, presumably, and the adults can have their own fun and mayhem without the children involved. And I'm enjoying Mike Tyndall's occasional little glimpses into, I guess, the lighter side of royal life and the personalities of people. And he's, I mean, Zara thinks he might be in a bit of trouble for what he said on the podcast this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, I think like this year, all we've talked about is like royal bombshells, which is true. There has been a lot. But yeah, I think the one he revealed this week was a bit of a bombshell about William's nickname, One Pint Willy.
I'm not sure anybody wants to be called One Pint Willy.
No, I don't think it's the most flattering nickname he could have chosen. But yeah, it is quite funny. Yeah. And it was a really great podcast. I don't know if you listened to it, actually. It was a podcast called Seven. It's with former rugby league legend Rob Burrow, and he was on there with Zara talking about a whole multitude of things. It's quite a fun listen, actually. It's not very long, but yeah, they also revealed their nicknames for each other. I don't know if you heard about that one as well.
Share.
So apparently they call each other munchkins, which is quite
and I think Zara was also revealing a little bit of what she has him in her phone as.
Yeah, she said something, she didn't reveal the exact word, but she said something kitten, so you can let your imagination see what the first word is.
So Rob Burrow is a former rugby league player who is suffering from motor neurone disease and is doing incredible campaigning work, raising visibility about that. And I enjoyed them talking as well about whether he should do the King's Speech one year, because we always have the King's Speech on Christmas. Well, not always, I mean, traditionally for a very long time it's been the Queen's Speech. Now the King's Speech, but there is an alternative Christmas message which is always delivered on Channel 4 by somebody different, with somebody, a non-royal message. And definitely he would be a great shout to do that one year.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What are some of the other traditions that you enjoy among the royals at Christmas?
Well, obviously we all like to see them go to church on Christmas morning. I don't know, I think that's always a thing. Like, even before I did this job, you'd always wake up on Christmas, open your presents, and then, you know, stick the news on for 5 minutes to see them walk into church and see what they were wearing and, you know, what they were doing, that sort of thing. So I always do like to see that. But I also quite like that they, I was reading about that this week, that when they all arrive at Sandringham on Christmas Eve, they all get there, you know, get settled in, get to their rooms, and then they all have an afternoon tea, which, I don't know, it just sounds really lovely, like an afternoon tea on Christmas Eve.
Big fan of afternoon tea.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of afternoon tea. So I think that's why that caught my eye. And then it's later on that night, about 6 p.m, they all gather around and they do the present exchange, which is obviously the German tradition coming in. So, yeah, they get to get their presents early, which is quite nice. Yeah.
Might help the children sleep a little better as well, because then.
Yeah, I think Santa Claus still does come for the children, though, later that night. But, yeah, they get to have some presents on there. On Christmas Eve, and then the adults have a formal dinner party in the evening, which also sounds nice. So it does sound like it's a lot of food, though, because even though an afternoon tea doesn't sound like a lot of food, when you have one, you are quite full after. And if they have that at 3 p.m. or something like that, and then they're going to have a formal dinner at 8 p.m., that's a lot of food.
I think all of the eating is one of the bits of royal life I could really buy into, though.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah.
This sounds tremendous. Are there any bits of royal Christmas that you're a bit like, that doesn't really work for me, that just sounds weird and not a lot of fun? I mean, it's a slightly peculiar royal thing that they do.
I don't know. I think it sounds lovely, but in theory. But at the same time, they don't really seem to have, I mean, I don't know because I've not been there, but it doesn't seem like they have a lot of time to just, you know, laze around in their pajamas or their comfort clothes. So, and I enjoy that at Christmas as well, and, you know, just watch some TV and eat some, you know, quality streets of celebration. So I don't know if there's a lot of time for that royal Christmas. So I suppose I'd miss that if I was lucky enough to be invited to one.
It'd be really interesting to see who we do see at Sandringham this year. It was a really expanded family last year. You know, Edo's son, Beatrice's stepson, was there as well. So, you know, it's a proper, everybody, open arms, welcome, really. I mean, aside from the Sussexes, who we're not expected to see this year either. But we did see Megan this week, making a little appearance in a Instagram, or, you know, a little advert for Clever Blends, one of the brands that she's been investing in.
Yeah, I thought it was quite good publicity for the brand to get her into that. And we know that she's an investor in it as well, so she stands to benefit. So I think it's kind of a win-win situation for both of them. You know, both. It's a good situation for both the brand and for Megan. And I know they said it was a return to acting for her, but I don't know if it was a proper acting job or not. I think that was a bit...
She was an extra. And yeah, she did some stuff. She was packing some boxes and doing a high five and, you know, this kind of thing. She was almost like, you know, did you used to have those books when you were little with the Usborne duck that kept popping up in each page and you had to try and spot it? So she was just there through all of the different scenes. Yeah. And it's just like a spotter in the different ones.
Yeah.
I guess the thing I thought, it's like, well, maybe she's quite sort of... Maybe she's like Dragon's Den-ish in her investments. That's the TV show here where people, you know, you go bid and get the investment from people with more money than you who sort of buy into your business. But part of what you're buying into is kind of their ongoing, or what you're getting as well as that money is their ongoing support and expertise as well.
Yeah. I never thought of that. It is very Dragon's Den, isn't it? Because that's what they say on Dragon's Den when they give you an investment. We'll help you with, you know, promotion or whatever. And I suppose that's one thing that Megan definitely can lend to that brand, is help with promotion and getting the brand's name out there. So, yeah.
One of the other signs that Christmas is on the way is the Royal Variety performance. We obviously saw the pictures a little while back of William and Kate arriving and, you know, greeting all the various performers and Cher and all of this, you know, some really big names and interesting people always there. And then it was shown on TV at the weekend. I haven't yet caught up with it, but I know you've had a chance to watch it. What did you make of it all?
Yeah, I watched it. I've got to say, I know you talked about this, I think, last week or the previous week, but I did love the dress that Kate wore for the Royal Variety performance, because I think in the past, you know, even where it's been a bit sparkly and that sort of thing, but it wasn't that sort of dress, but it was still glam, but I think it was just very sophisticated, which is what I really... I liked about it. But yeah, I thought it was quite interesting watching the Royal Variety performance this, because the day it was filmed was when all of that drama was exploding around Endgame and that sort of thing. But when you saw the clips, when, you know, the camera would pan to them when they were, you know, reacting to the performances and whatever, I don't think you would ever have known that there was all this drama surrounding them at the time. It was they looked pretty they look pretty relaxed, and they seem to be enjoying it. And William was especially cracking up. It's some jokes by the comedian Tom Allen. He was joking about how, you know, these websites go on make you prove you're not a robot, and he was literally wiping tears from his eyes. So yeah, he obviously wasn't letting whatever drama was going on outside of that affect his night, and he had a good time, it seems.
Kate was quite impressed by some of the singing, I think, as well.
Yeah. Hannah Waddingham, she gave a great performance. And she was seen turning to someone saying, oh, that was amazing and that was fantastic. And yeah, I think they did seem to enjoy it. Yeah.
Very nice when you've had a really stressful day and all the world around you is mayhem, to just go and sit in a nice box, probably.
Yeah.
And just be... You know, nobody can talk to you for a bit. You can't talk to anybody, and you've just got people entertaining and like trying to make you laugh and enjoy yourself. And that kind of like release of all of that, you know, nervous energy and tension, being able to just, I can understand that maybe things felt a little bit funnier because you really needed that feeling at the end of the day for William.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And there's some more Christmas TV. Royal Christmas TV to look forward to as well. We've got the Christmas Eve carol service. We've obviously seen the pictures already of and the little video of various royals, including the little, I keep wanting to call them little Cambridges, little Waleses, sounds a little bit funny. Some kind of swimming around in the ocean. But so the Westminster Abbey carol service, that's on Christmas Eve on ITV, and then there's the documentary on Boxing Day on the BBC of Charles III, the coronation year. So yeah, what do you make of those two things coming up?
Yeah, I kind of feel like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, we're not going to see the royals off our TV in the UK here, because yeah, like you say, Christmas Eve, the royal carol concert with Kate. Yeah, I think that seems to be, from the teaser clips I've seen for that, it's going to be quite a festive, nice, heartwarming watch for Christmas Eve. And then, yeah, Boxing Day, this documentary, Charles III, the coronation year. So it seems like a camera crew have followed Charles and Camilla, and apparently as well William and Kate during the last year, some of the most high profile moments, which obviously the coronation was the most high profile. And yeah, some of the teaser clips for it look quite fun. We've seen Charles and Camilla come back to like Buckingham Palace after the coronation, and everyone's clapping them and giving them kisses. And then there was like some coronation rehearsal snippets as well. And the one where Charles got the robe on and he's like joking, saying "I can fly," which is quite sweet. And yeah, I think it'll be quite an interesting one to watch. And I've heard on the grapevine, if you're a royal fan, you don't want to miss it. It's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really excited for the documentary. It looks really, I don't know, like, you know, the coronation was such a grand, serious, momentous thing. You know, think about all of that music rising up and all of that. But looking at it in the rehearsals, and actually it looked like they had, I mean, it might have been nerves because there's this massive, momentous thing coming. But it looked like they had quite a lot of fun in a lot of ways in the rehearsals.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think as well, like, I know we've talked about this before. Is this documentary another way that it shows that the royal family are opening up a little bit more than the Queen would have? Like, I can't imagine seeing footage of the late Queen laughing and joking and having rehearsing. I don't know. I think it just, yeah, I think it's shown how under Charles, I think there might be a bit more open to letting us in a little bit more.
I guess he's sort of done some of this documentary stuff a little bit over the years previously.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's used to sharing it a bit. But no, it did look, it does look a really interesting watch. And I thought it was also really sweet in the trailer talking to Frankie Tadori, brilliant jockey, about, you know, remembering his mama who'd won the race and, you know, how sort of that lovely moment there. And there are all those places, you know, everybody's got this when they've lost someone, there are those places and those times which will always remind you of that person, hopefully in a, you know, hopefully in a happy way, those ones. And those are things that you really treasure. So it's be very interesting to see what we learn about the coronation on Boxing Day. And we will be back in the new year to talk about that one and all the royal Christmas things. Next week, there will be our royal review of the year, which I recorded earlier this week with Russell and with his boss, Alison Phillips, editor of The Mirror. So that was a really, it was a really fun session, and we hope you all enjoy that next week. We haven't finished this one just yet. There is more to come. But while we're talking about our review of the year, Jen, who is your royal of the year, do you think? Russell and Alison and I, we picked our royals of the year, and I don't want you to have to miss out.
That's quite a good question, isn't it? I suppose because it was his year and his coronation, I think I'd have to go with King Charles because the coronation was just such a good event and it got everyone together and that sort of thing. And I think he's had, you know, a good year in terms of, I think the support's still there for him, and I think he's had some good, you know, overseas trips, like the trip to France and Germany and Kenya. They've all gone off really well. So, yeah, I think he can be happy. So, yeah, maybe I'll go for King Charles.
Good option. I like it. Some other bits and pieces of news from over the last week. Camilla, I mean, she's doing what all the cool kids do. She's launching a podcast for the Reading Room.
Yeah, I think this is quite a good idea. I think the idea of her Reading Room, it lends itself quite well to a podcast. So yeah, I'll be quite interested to see what it's like and how often we hear her actually on the podcast as well.
Yeah, that'd be the most interesting thing, like how involved and how often she takes part in it. I did enjoy her cutting the cake with the sword last week as well. She was visiting Emmaus in Bristol, which is a supports people who are homeless, I think. And yeah, it reminded me of that time, I think it was down in Cornwall for the G7, when the Queen, the aide was saying, well, there is a knife, ma'am. She's like, no, this is a lot more fun and unusual. So yeah, cutting a cake with a sword, it's a good life ambition, I think.
Do you put the sword in the dishwasher after? I don't know how you get it clean after.
Well, that one had a go at cutting a cake earlier in the week. I think it's the Lord Lieutenant of Bristol had used it to cut a her 70th birthday cake a few days before. So it's a well-practiced cake. It sounded like a really nice visit as well. And I enjoyed, they gave her two wooden dog bowl holders that had been made by Emmaus Merseyside, so a different branch of the charity, made using wood sourced from broken bed frames that would have gone into landfill otherwise. That's a great, I'm sure Charles would be very approving of that. And I also enjoyed her going shopping in the charity shop and getting a pre-loved Christmas plate. So there's a little bit of something different coming to the Highgrove or Sandringham or somewhere Christmas table this year.
Yeah, I hope they use it at Sandringham this year, yeah.
Be lovely. Yeah. And William had a flying visit to Kuwait as well to go do, you know, royal duties after the death of an emir. And obviously that's a duty thing and it's an important thing to do. And, you know, but it did make me think, like, you can drop everything to go do that. But when the Lionesses get to the final in Australia, didn't go. Was it?
Yeah.
Did you think the same?
You know what? That exact thought had crossed my mind as well. I mean, I know you can argue that this, like you say, it was duty and it was something he had to do. But yeah, it did make me think, well, could you not have done the same to go to Australia earlier in the year? Yeah, I've got to agree. I did think that. I'm not to take away from that what he did earlier in the week. I think that was really important as well. But yeah, it does make you think, why couldn't he have done that earlier in the year? Yeah,
and he did write a W signed tweet or X or message on that Twitter type platform,
yeah,
to Mary Earp after she'd won BBC Sports Personality of the Year. So, you know, BBC Sports Personality of the Year, again, it's one of those end of season, Christmas is coming, big moments. And Mary Earp's goalkeeper for the Lionesses this year played brilliantly. You know, won a kind of a big row as well, because they weren't going to release a goalkeeper replica shirt for sale. You know, you can get a goalkeeper replica shirt in the men's kit, and they weren't going to do one for the women's. And everyone said, hang on a minute. And they did release one for her, and it went, you know, wild, obviously, because I think she's a bit of a cult hero. And she won Spotty. And William did send a nice message to congratulate her.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was quite good. I mean, there had been a little bit of controversy, shall we say, about her win, but yeah, I think his message was, you know, was good, and it cemented the fact that she did, in my opinion, deserve the award. So yeah, I think it was a good message about there for William.
He just said, yeah, hugely well deserved, Mary. Yeah. Congratulations, !! So yes, well done, Mary, congratulations. And yeah, we look forward to seeing what she does next. One other lovely thing that was shared on the Wales's Twitter this week was a real throwback picture. I don't think you can call it a throwback picture, a childhood picture of Kate.
Yes, so this was to promote her Christmas Carol concert on Christmas Eve, which is going to have the theme of supporting the early years, you know, people who were involved in looking after children, that sort of thing. And yes, you she shared a picture of her from Christmas 1983. So I think that was just before her second birthday, sitting at the Christmas table in this, you know, really cute little dress with, I don't know if you noticed, she was wearing a little beaded necklace as well, which I thought was really sweet. And yeah, as soon as they posted that, the comments on after it was posted on Twitter were just flooded with, this just looks like Prince Louis as a kid. And it is incredible when you look at the pictures of Prince Louis when he was around the same age, of how much he looks like his mum.
It's a very cute picture, and we look forward to hopefully seeing lots more cute festive pictures over the Christmas season. The thing I particularly liked in that picture was the little candle angel turny aroundy ornament, because I managed to find one in a charity shop at the weekend for like £2 and surprised my husband with it. That was like, yeah, I've got one of those now as well.
People were also commenting on the placemats on the table as well. There's quite a few comments saying, we had those placemats. I'm sure they were from M&S. So yeah, I quite like that sort of thing, because it's, you know, everyone had the same nostalgic, like, throwback, like, tableware and decoration. So yeah, I thought that was quite fun too.
very relatable. What are you doing for your Christmas, Jen? Have you got something nice planned? Or are you going to be? Are you going to be working and telling us all about what the Royals are doing?
I'm going to be working on Christmas Day, watching the Sandringham Walk and the King's Speech. But I'll be having a nice time in London after that. So yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, listeners, do tune in to the Mirror's website on Christmas Day and over the Christmas season generally to see Jen's fine work. I'm sure Russell will be filing stories as well to keep you updated on all of the Royals' Christmas festivities. Jen, it's been great hanging out with you today, and all of the times we've hung out this year as well. Have a really lovely Christmas. Listeners, thank you for hanging out with us today as well. And I hope you have a really lovely Christmas wherever you are spending it. And whether you're having afternoon tea and a fancy dinner or lazing around in your pyjamas, I wish you a very lovely festive season.
Pod save the king!